Well then, not a bad first time out, is it, Jason? Having fun?
Fun.
Oh, he looks disappointed.
I'm disappointed.
Oh, hi. That's usual from Jason. I don't think he's ever happy with anything.
I was promised grapes and goldfish crackers.
That is never going to happen.
In a world where three guys watch movies all day long, this is The Void Zone. Join our hosts, Nick Michael, AJ Casey, and Britt Ward, as they embark on this mystical journey. Warning, there will be spoilers.
Music by Kevin MacLeod. Brought to you by Out of the Void Productions.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the second episode of The Void Zone. Yes, we have a title now, thank goodness.
Wait, we're numbering these now?
We're going to number these because
there'll be three.
Oh, man. I don't know. I need
so
to keep
So we skip
track.
Two.
Oh, this is... Did I say three?
No.
No.
Oh.
AJ said in total.
Three. Oh, wow. Right on. Right on. I got confused and scared. Well, anyway, I'm Britt Ward. Over there is...
I'm Nick Michael.
And I'm AJ Casey.
And a very special, awesome, amazing, wonderful guest we have today. Who are you, sir?
I am Jason Woolrich.
Oh, I thought you knew his name.
I barely know this guy. Oh, I think I've seen him a couple of times. He's nice, I guess.
Whatever, dude.
All right, so what we do is we talk about movies. If you've listened to the first episode, you'd know that. If you are a newcomer, then, well, I just told you, we talk about movies.
Sir, I believe they call it cinema.
Cinema, that's, well, no, not everything we watch
or,
is cinema.
Or film.
Lucky I know actors' names.
No, most of what we've seen so far is, in fact, not film. It's just good old movies.
Flicks, as it were.
Right, right. Okay. Good summer stuff. All right. Well, this last week we watched, we'll jump into the news first, but we watched Hangover 2 and X-Men. We'll talk about those here in a little bit, but let's go ahead and start right off with the news. Our first little piece is, I don't know if you guys have, any of you seen The Human Centipede?
I wouldn't recommend it.
No, it's hard to watch. I won't go into the details of the plot. This is a family-friendly show. Just suffice it to say it's disgusting. However, the director said he wanted to make a second one, did make a second one, said it was going to make the first one look like My Little Ponies.
Hey, don't knock My Little Ponies.
Hey,
they've got a new show out.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
I thought they were gone.
They're pretty epic. They have tattoos.
Those like nice little chunks of plastic you could buy in the 80s.
It is oddly surreal and entertaining.
It depends on what
you know. Remnants of trolls.
Speaking of trolls, you know, there's always Care Bears.
Right.
But anyways,
Human Centipede 2. So, just to jump right into that, the Human Centipede 2 in England, and I'm reading this from uinterview.com, the British Board of Film Classification, which is the British equivalent of the American MPAA, basically banned this film in the UK, and to the point where they said that this was might be violating some sort of British law about vulgarity. And actually, the director, the worst thing he said about this was that they on their website posted that the BBFC put spoilers about his movie on their website. But of course, the real news about this is, of course, censorship, and that's really what we're looking at here. So, is there a limit, Nick, about what do you think there's a limitation what a filmmaker should be allowed to do, and is it okay for someone to say ban a movie?
No.
So you're just straight up going to say no?
No.
You, AJ, what about you? What do you feel about that?
I think anyone should be able to see said movies and that, so there shouldn't be a ban. It should just be more closely guarded, I suppose, at any kind of theater in that, if it's higher than like R or something like that, depending on
whatever
how
their rating
graphic is.
System.
Yeah.
Okay. And you, Jason, what do you feel?
Well, I mean, if it was here in the States, you know, it would be more of a problem. But this is in the UK, and they have a different set of censorship. As far as my personal belief is, I don't think anything should be censored.
Okay, so no matter how depraved, I mean, it describes the possibility of people maybe eating feces in this movie and a guy being excited by this. And
if you want to see that.
if that's what floats your boat, then, you know, by all means... I don't think the movie would do that well. I don't think there would be that many viewers. So, I think it's a very targeted audience.
Agreed. I'll agree with you guys. I don't believe in any form of censorship. If a guy wants to be that messed up, that's his prerogative, so to speak. But that begs the question, now, what do you think the MPAA in America would do? How would their response be? Would it be much the same? I mean,
well, it's pretty political who gets an NC-17 and who gets an R.
Oh, so, very true, very true.
And the appeals process is pretty weird, so.
Yeah. And inconsistent.
And it wouldn't surprise me if it went straight to video.
Oh, it is. There's not going to be any theatrical for it. They've already said he's going to do straight to DVD for it, and he's working on 3. But then this is kind of another question. What are your feelings in general? So start with Jason here. What are your feelings on the MPAA in general?
I think that it should be a fair system instead of the system that we've got now. There's entirely too many politics with individual movies. And, you know, a lot of really great films have to fight to just get a rated R. Whereas a lot of mainstream films, even though they might have a scene that should put them in the NC-17 category, just get let through without any
right.
Without any look.
So. What about you, AJ? How do you feel about the MPAA?
Well, I wish they weren't just sitting there going, I'll roll a D6 and see if I want to allow this movie. Because I can list many different movies where they've applied like 16, 17 times to get past an R rating or an NC-17 rating and have eventually.
Kevin Smith, actually. Mm-hmm. We've mentioned him in the first episode quite a bit because we're all big fans. I think most of us here are big fans.
Well, I wouldn't say that movie was my particular favorite.
Zach and Mary, yeah, you know exactly. But, yeah, I mean, Nick, how do you feel about any kind of board that sets down a system of rating regardless?
Well, if it's just a recommendation like the ESRB, I don't think I'd have a problem with it. But when you start enforcing rules and strictures on who can enter those movies based on, like, I didn't like being told I had to show my ID to go see The Hangover 2.
Right,
when
right.
I'm clearly an adult, and it's just to keep the summer kids from coming in, but who cares?
Yeah, it's just a movie.
It's a movie with full frontal nudity, but spoiler.
You know, spoiler. Well, I agree, actually. I don't agree with any kind of bureaucratic board that's there to delegate morality to the people. I'm not okay with that. But
well, and also, the other thing that the MPAA does is whenever they do assign an NC-17, that's a death knell for a movie that's already been made.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
The movie producers, the directors, all the actors, you know, everybody that worked on the movie's done by the time the MPAA, gets to look at it. And if they slap an NC-17 on it, for instance, the movie theaters here won't buy it. You know, movie
Pretty
theaters across
no
the country
will.
Don't even want to touch it.
It'll be art house.
Maybe.
Yeah. But then you're not going to make your production budget back.
Yeah, exactly.
Looking at net worth there, and it's not going to hit it.
So some random board determines whether or not people can turn a profit on a movie, you know?
Yeah. Well, getting into a little happier news, maybe happier, it depends on someone's view of reboots in general. They're talking about now rebooting the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And last week, Nick and I had an agreement as to which the best Ninja Turtles movie
agreement?
Is.
I thought we were disagreeing.
A disagreement, I meant. I'm sorry. Good job, Britt. Yeah, we had a disagreement, but I think in general, Nick and I agree that the more practical an effect can be without going to CG, the better. Now, we're just going to jump right into this. First off, how do you feel, everyone starting with Nick, how do you feel about the idea of a reboot of the Turtles?
I wouldn't be against it per se, but I'd much rather they had gone on the tack that they went with the CG movie, because I thought it reinvested the characters with a lot of their comics mentality and backstory and pathos and mythos. So I feel that it would probably be better if they just went along that avenue instead of just making another live action or CGI live action combo movie of the Turtles. So
going back to the Kevin Eastman, Peter Laird sort of original material or something like that.
Maybe get Stan Sakai in with a little Usagi Yojimbo and bring it in for some flavor.
How do you feel about this, AJ? Is this news excite you or disappoint you? Or?
Well, I always love the Mutant Ninja Turtles in that, but I just love puppets.
Okay, I'm with you on that one.
It's like a little bitty knife stabbing me.
Well, because I don't even think we know what it's going to be yet. It's just they've gotten screenwriting.
Yeah, I assume it's not puppets, and that just makes me sad.
Yeah. How about you, Jason? Were you a Turtles kid?
I wasn't really a Turtles kid. I did enjoy the live-action films, mm-hmm. and I enjoyed a lot of the older cartoons, but I wouldn't call myself a true fan of it. I would watch it again if it was on. As far as a reboot, I mean, the Turtles, they haven't been as big this generation as they were in my generation, and I think that a reboot will kind of expose, you know, a new generation to the Turtles, and it might, you know, get them into, you know, something I was somewhat into, you know, that my friends were somewhat into.
Maybe reinvigorate the franchise a little bit.
Exactly. And it would be nice to see, you know,
hopefully it'll be better.
More of my childhood, you know, kind of spread around on the childhood of today. You know, that way they could feel the oppression and the sadness just like me.
Oh, wow. I'm not sure if I can edit part of that or... but, no, interesting. I actually kind of want to see another one, but at the same time, I'm so tired of reboots that... my hope here, actually, is that because it says that the writers from Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol, which is directed by Brad Bird, are on this, part of me is thinking, God, if Brad Bird directed this, I'd... full on in, even if it's just CG. Him directing a Turtles movie, that'd be impressive. But
I'd be interested, especially considering The Incredibles.
Oh, well, I mean, my what was the Iron Giant or whatever that one was called? Yeah. I love that movie.
Iron Giant was good.
And I think he did Ratatouille also. But and it was all right. Not as good as Incredibles, but what is?
I think there's a little bit of bias in the room about that.
Oh, agreed. I'm not going to lie to you on that one. I think Nick and I might agree on that one about The Incredibles.
Well, not cool. As good as Cars, but...
Oh, yeah, it's epic.
See, now you're just picking fights intentionally.
We will go into Nick's opinion on Cars in regards to Incredibles and the existence of Cars 2, but not Incredibles 2. Anyway, so, all right, cool. It seems like we're all in favor of maybe seeing another Turtles movie, as long as it's good. Now, here we go. My little brother and I were talking about a week ago about... He was like, what if they're going to do a Tron Legacy 2? Which I, of course, laughed at because he's 10 and doesn't know any better. But here we're talking about a possibility, a new writer for the Tron Legacy sequel. Now, do we know for a fact that they're doing a Tron 3? Is that going to happen?
It's all pre-production rumor crap, so...
Oh, okay.
There's nothing confirmed, but they are trying, so...
Well, no, I didn't bother to look up how well Tron did in theaters. Was it successful? Did it earn its budget back? Did it?
I thought it did, especially with video. So yeah. Well, yeah, it definitely made a lot of money considering it had 3D and IMAX to work with. So it made its budget back. But
okay, well, I'm interesting. So I mean, now Nick, I know you probably liked Tron more than I know you liked it more than I did.
Oh yeah, I really enjoyed it.
I was kind of bored, but there we go.
I was old enough to see the original Tron in theaters, so...
No, see, I didn't. I watched it at home and got a headache from the rotoscoping, but... but okay, now how do you... I mean, are you interested in seeing this franchise become something bigger? Maybe, you know, Disney pushed Pirates quite a bit. Do you want that? Maybe see something like that with Tron?
Well, it depends on what you mean by bigger. If they continue with the spirit of what they've done in Legacy, I think I'd be very interested in seeing it. The problem is, though, that they're also pushing the merchandising angle, and they're bringing out a CG animated television show sometime in the next year or so. So I'm worried that they're going to do just a huge marketing push and kind of ruin the feel of the series.
Well, you would almost be making the movies to sell the toys, kind of what happened to the Schumacher Batman movies, where they would... Dang it, I'm sorry. Note to cut that, Britt. kind of what they did with the Schumacher Batman movies, where they were just literally putting in gimmicks there for toys to sell, and that could be a possibility of what happens to Tron. It'd be kind of sad. I know that's not strictly speaking what you were talking about just now, but that I would worry that that's something that would happen. It might kill
the... I could see it. It's possible. And they do have a small toy line already, although the only pieces I'm interested in are the Daft Punk figurines, which I can't seem to find.
Yeah, well, that's because it's Daft Punk. Who hates Daft Punk?
Is that a rhetorical question?
I don't know. Mr. Jason, how do you feel about more Tron movies? Are you ready for another Disney franchise?
More Tron and more Disney. Both of those things seem okay with me. Less so on the Disney, but more so on the Tron.
Wow, okay.
No, Tron, I like Tron Legacy significantly better than the first one. Then again, I wasn't in that generation.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of caught the tail end of the whole Tron thing, so... you know, I wasn't into the whole rotoscoping thing, but, you know, the new movie was pretty good. I mean, you know, I'd be open to see a sequel. I'm not saying, you know, I have high hopes for it by any means.
But, right.
But, you know, I'd like to see a new one.
What about you, AJ? You thinking this is a good idea?
Oh, yeah, I'm with Jason. It's just, I liked the 3D effects from the first one. I felt like I was there.
They're so realistic.
Oh my god!
Well, I don't think they were pushing for realism. They were going for the abstract there. So
yeah,
it was very clearly going for the video game feel. And
I like the imagery that played out through it, and that, and how in depth it was for its time. I loved the sequel. I know you didn't, but I don't care.
No, I mean, no, I think it's cool because I like to hear, you know, I will say this for the sequel. It was really fun to watch in terms of visuals. I mean, it was it was eye candy.
I drooled a little while I was there.
The little, what are they called, light bikes or whatever, lightsaber bikes, I don't know.
They're light cycles.
Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry, George Lucas. that was really pretty and fun and just... This is going to sound kind of weird, but the texture of everything in that movie was really appealing.
And those bikes were popular enough to have 13 made.
Oh, wow.
That are real. $378,000 each.
No, I'm not worth it, but hey, that's kind of cool.
All right.
Well, that's cool. Now, we're going to jump into a little one-off segment. We all have beloved characters. I mean, you know, everyone looks at... I don't know, Han Solo, and everyone's like, Han Solo, yeah, or R2-D2, I gotta get out of Star Wars here.
But, Greedo!
Wow. Yeah, go wow. Greedo.
But sometimes, and I think everyone's got that one character that maybe everyone else seems to love, but it makes you angry to see them on screen. And so we're gonna talk about that a little bit today. Nick, what is that one character that just drives you insane when you see that guy or girl on screen and you're wondering, like, how are they popular?
Well, I think it's kind of prosaic for considering the sequel is coming out this summer, but definitely Mater from Cars. It's stereotypical Larry the Cable Guy shtick, and it doesn't have much redeeming value for the friendship angle in the first movie, in my opinion. And I think the first Cars could have done completely so much better
if it wasn't
without him. Oh, see, I liked some of the concepts and themes they had in Cars, especially the Route 66 angle and the nostalgia. But Mater, he just killed it for me. And the fact that they're making a new movie, which is a spy movie, and he's the main focus of it.
His toy sells the fastest. He's the main character that everybody loves from that.
You just won me over into agreement, Nick. Wow, now I hate Cars 2.
Well, I'm always right, so it's not that hard. So.
Well, no, that's wrong. I mean, I won't even go into why. But okay, no, that's a really good point. Wow, AJ. God, I have to agree to Nick. Well, let's go with yours. I think yours was a little obscure, but let's go with them. Let's hear it.
Yeah, I chose a more obscure character for, well, the podcast, because I figured people of a younger generation won't be able to understand him, or probably even...
There's Google. They can Google it.
Witness the horror that will ensue if you do. The movie Ford Fairlane. I didn't like that character in the slightest... Oh, it has that strong Brooklyn accent, and how does he solve crimes? He's a detective.
It's Andrew Dice Clay playing Andrew Dice Clay.
And and he shouldn't be in anything.
Yeah, for some reason that movie was made, and everyone loved it at the time.
Yeah, and it had it was one of the key components for a Billy Idol music video from the 80s. There was other actors like Gilbert Godfrey and Robert Englund in there and that. And I'm sure they will never live that down.
I think you feel about this the way I feel about Hudson Hawk, actually. Yeah, though I'm not sure that many people like Hudson Hawk.
Actually, I do like Hudson Hawk.
Really? Yeah. Oh, man.
Hudson Hawk was
pretty
awesome.
I especially love the video game for the NES.
There's a video game?
Yeah, for the Nintendo for Hudson. Entertainment System.
Do you sing in queue to plan a crime or to work a crime? I mean,
No. It was basically kind of, if you remember the old Rambo one, it was kind of like that.
Oh, wow. That's
scroll
not too distant from the Total Recall game also, actually. Wow. All right. I guess I'll go with mine real quick before Jason goes with his, but, mine is Simba. there's something about that movie.
Young Simba or adult Simba?
Both. Well, young Simba, you can't blame for anything. He's a kid. He's going through his little arc. You're like, all right, man, he's a kid. He doesn't know any better. And he gets told to flee because he's blamed for his father's death or told he's blamed for his father's death.
Hey, spoilers.
If you haven't seen Lion King by now, go rent it or something. I mean, come on. But no, I'll put a spoiler alert in there somewhere, maybe, if I get around to it. But no, he goes off into the wilderness to train. Okay, that's not too different from the typical archetype of that character. Instead of what he should do, he goes and goofs off with the cartoon equivalent of a pair of frat boys until he's an adult, and then everyone lets him be king again at the end of the movie. Now, I'm not sure why that's the case, because all I could see is his girlfriend. Why isn't she the Lion Queen? Because she's the only one who seemed proactive enough to go look for something to do.
What about Scar?
I mean, well, he had good he was ultimate proactive. Goals. He just kind of had evil methods.
Yeah, very dictator
kinda,
scene there.
Kind of killed his brother to do it. Not so okay. But just in general, Simba rubs me the wrong way. And
do people really love Simba, though? I mean,
I talked about this with my mom saying, is this a good idea to do this character? And she said, don't do that character. I love him. He's awesome. And I'm like, oh, okay, I get to do this character then. So that answered my question. I mean, I could have gone a bunch of different directions, but every other Disney character seems to have a good arc and they learn from their mistakes. Simba's like, well, I guess I'm king now because I can be. I hate that. Maybe it's the American in me who believes in, you know.
He's the trust fund tiger.
Well, I mean, if you go as far as to say the Lion King was a racist film.
Because the hyenas, yeah, of course,
the hyenas are all labeled minority, minority voice actors. And
obviously, that wasn't the intent of the film, but that does come across a little bit.
Yeah, like, dictator scene, and he's watching them march, and they all look at him.
Why can't the hyenas have a vote? You know, that's, I mean,
they're not all bad. They're the ones who ultimately kill the bad guy, actually. And you still don't see him at the end of the movie.
And why does the lion, you know, why does Simba become the king just simply because of, you know, his bloodline, you know, his divine right?
Royalty. It's a very simple fantasy story.
Yeah, well, it's pro monarchy.
But you know, I don't mind pro monarchy when the guy earns his place as king. Nicely done, Jason. Nicely done. But that brings us to you, Jason. Who is your character? I know you're having a little bit of a toss up here, but
well, I decided to go with Superman.
Okay. Let's hear it.
Superman is the most boring superhero ever had the pleasure of ever reading his comic books. They tried to spice him up, you know, they tried to make him so that he was, you know, he had the white and blue costume one year, and then they
were Lightning Superman or whatever.
The Lightning Superman that was better than everybody. And, you know, he's the most boring superhero that I've ever, like, there's nothing good to say about the guy. Okay, yeah, he's really tough, he's really strong, he can lift up an island made out of his weakness.
That's exactly what I was thinking of. I was like, oh.
So, are you looking forward to the Zack Snyder reboot?
If they make it so that he dies during the film, I will enjoy it.
Stop that. I keep hitting this table, and it's going to frustrate me during the editing process. But, okay, so, well, you know he's not going to die. They're starting a new franchise. They wanted to go the Batman route.
Well, they better kill him off.
Batman all his powers.
They better make it a Batman movie with Superman just dying in the beginning.
Well,
maybe have Batman kill him and say, yeah, I'm a better superhero.
There's a graphic novel they could actually work off of for that.
Determine you're evil.
Interesting, interesting. Well, that's fun. That's good times. His runner-up, by the way, was Shirley Temple, but we'll leave that for another day.
I hate that drink.
That's a good reason to hate an actress.
It is.
I like Shirley Temple's, actually. But anyway, all
right. You would.
I would.
You would.
Really, I will. Would. Really. I'm very foppish. I admitted to Pirates of Penzance last episode. All right. Well, that was fun. We'll figure out new little gimmicks to do every episode because we can just jump the shark by episode 4, I think.
I think we've already done it with that one. So.
Yep. That's the game. So anyway, let's jump right into the movies. We'll start with The Hangover 2, I think, because it's probably got the less material to go off of. But we'll jump right in. Nick, how did you feel about the general? Well, we won't go into the plot because if you've seen The Hangover 1, it's they wake up and they don't remember and a bunch of bad stuff happened. There you go. Nick, how do you feel about The Hangover 2?
I thought it was pretty solid. It was exactly what I was expecting going in, and I had tons of fun watching it.
Okay. What was your favorite scene in The Hangover 2?
I'd have to say it's a toss-up between when Alan re-envisions himself in his meditative state and sees the entire wolf pack as 12-year-old boys.
Right, right.
Or when they have the reveals in the backstage at the Kit Kat Club.
Yes.
You hear, and I was listening to the audience members when I knew what was coming. Because it's pretty telegraphed from the get-go when they walk into the club, but hearing the audience members freak out was just priceless.
Yeah, it's very phallic in nature, we'll just say that.
is that a spoiler? Is that a heavy spoiler?
You'll hear a wah when I do this podcast, maybe, if I get around to it. AJ, your general thoughts on the movie?
I enjoyed it, not as much as the first one, but maybe because I have a bias of ending up in a seedy hotel room. And
does that unnerve you compared to the yes, the luxury suite?
I would rather wake up in a luxury suite with all my fingers.
That might also be a spoiler alert.
It's not the beginning of the movie.
Yes, it is. But Jason, you've seen Hangover 2? I hope so, because you're here.
Hangover 2 was, I mean, I would say it was one of the funnier movies that I've seen this year. Mm-hmm. The real thing that that I could say about it is that it's like The Hangover 1 was the second time you see it.
Okay, and so like, still funny, but...
You know what's coming. It's still hilarious. The jokes are still there. It's a movie full of punchlines. But the thing is, now you're familiar with the setup. You know what's going to happen. You can kind of telegraph what's going on. You know, and from the trailer, most people can discern where the friend is. And, you know, you can kind of guess where he's at from the beginning. And you might be right, you might be wrong. But, I mean, you'll find yourself, if you've seen The Hangover 1, you'll be trying to guess where their friend is at. And, you know, it's they use the formula. It's the same. It's almost the exact same plot.
Right.
You know, there's only so much they could do with it if they keep following the formula.
Yeah. But
it was a funny movie. I would definitely...
Well, on that subject, you know, of course, they've already probably going to greenlight the sequel just because why not? This is now like the highest grossing rated R comedy, I think, of all time.
Exactly.
But Zach Galifianakis, now nobody knows if this is just him being who he is, but he was talking about in an interview how the third one might be something to the effect of the Wolfpack breaking him out of a mental institution. So that begs the question, if they do a third one, AJ, how do you feel... Do you want them to deviate from the formula, or do you want to see the same thing again for a third time?
I'd like them to change it ever so slightly, in which case they would go, oh yeah, this guy is the plot hook for our entire movies. He's basically steering where we go by X means and that, and I don't really like that. Because okay. I would never keep him around if I knew things like that were going to happen.
How did they not take him to the vet and put him down?
Well, like frisk him every 5 seconds.
What I do think you have they did a pretty good job, though, of making that sort of dilemma in the beginning of the movie, though. Because at the very beginning, they really don't want Alan to come along.
I still wouldn't take anything near...
That's true. Ed Helms does spend that entire time like, no, I'm not budging. And they make it that nice little awkward scene in Zach Galifianakis' bedroom where, you know, Ed Helms is sitting there just, you know, every other line like, sorry, the Jonas Brothers won't be there. And he's like, oh, I know they're in Raleigh this weekend or whatever the joke is.
Don't
and
spoil it's, the punchlines.
That one's in the trailer. But, you know, that's... I could agree with that. That, you know, they should go a different direction. Nick, do you think if they do a third one, it is going to be the same thing, or do you think they vary a little bit on it?
I have no idea. Knowing Hollywood, they could just go for the same thing again, but you never know. They could. I mean, it's this early; they're already talking about it. So
yeah. Well, maybe they'll bring Darren Aronofsky to come in and direct it and put his vision on it. That would be a rad movie.
Personally, I think the only thing that I would want specifically for them to change was I want more Jeffrey Tambor. Because he was great at the beginning and the end of the first Hangover, and I wanted to see him more, but he was only in a little bit at the beginning of 2.
Yeah,
and then I wanted Doug. He paid his dues on the roof in the first movie, and
why can't he be the fourth? Yeah,
in on the Wolfpack.
I felt that same way actually. And Jeffrey Tambor is never boring. I mean, I'm a big Arrested Development fan, and that movie kills me, or that show kills me. And they're making a movie out of it, by the way. What element of it, Jason, could you do without if they do a third one? What do you want them to maybe not do as much of?
Not follow the exact same
plot. Okay, so you want them to go a different route.
I would like them to switch it up a little bit. Just the name of the movie, there's only so much that you could do to set that up, to set up the Hangover. I think a little bit more creativity on how they fall into that. To that state where they don't remember anything, I think that would probably, be a better film. I think
maybe spend more time writing it now.
Instead of just taking the plot, replacing some names and nouns, and just going for it.
We erase some key points and put ideas in a hat.
Well, they'll do it the Family Guy South Park method of writing, actually, with just the balls. But the first one had the Mike Tyson cameo. The second one was supposed to have Mel Gibson. That didn't happen. Was supposed to have Liam Neeson. That didn't happen. Had instead, what's his name? Nick Cassavetes.
Nick Cassavetes, yeah.
Starting with Jason, who do you want to be the odd celebrity cameo in the next one?
Well, I heard a rumor very early on in this one that Bill Clinton was gonna be in it. And I think I think that good old Bill would make a great cameo for the series. And I think now that it'll be, you know, a little bit more aged and, you know, has its records, I hope he actually would go for it. And hopefully that's not a rumor.
Who do you want to see in there, AJ?
Oh, there's so many people, but I pick Neil Patrick
Harris. Oh, cool. I didn't ask. AJ's a big Neil Patrick Harris fan.
I think that would ruin it, though, because you've already got Neil Patrick Harris cameoing as himself in the Harold and Kumar movies. So if you have that kind of crossover.
Maybe get all three of those guys in there, Neil Patrick Harris and Harold and Kumar.
Well, they've got a very Harold and Kumar Christmas coming out soon. So.
Oh, that's true. That's true. Who do you want to see in this movie, Nick?
Aside from Jeffrey Tambor and more Doug, I have no idea, really. Except for more Chow. I love Chow.
Oh, yeah.
Really, I kind of wanted less of him. I kind of wanted Jeffrey Tambor to take his spot. Like, I thought that would have been fun.
Just that elevator scene, the return to the elevator scene where they're singing again. Oh, that was beautiful.
That is funny. Interesting, interesting. I just kind of want them to resurrect Michael Jackson for the fourth or the third one. That would be funny.
There are plenty of entertainers who are impersonating him, so I guess they could. But it, it kind of feels soft and a bit trite to me.
Yeah, it's kind of mean.
It's mean enough what they did with Mike Tyson, but hey.
So general thoughts, we all like the movie, right?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I'll be getting it on video when it comes out.
Really?
Hopefully in a Hangover 1 and 2 2-pack.
Interesting.
On Blu-ray. Don't you just love it? The way it rolls off your tongue?
Blu-ray. I hate Blu-ray, but we'll talk about that another time.
Blu-ray is awesome.
You're going to own this, so on this movie,
Jason?
I'm not going
to let you badmouth Blu-ray. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Remember the Laserdisc?
I remember the Laserdisc.
I remember the Laserdisc. You going to own this movie, Jason?
The Hangover 2. I have owned the Hangover 1. I've seen it 60 times. Yeah. I will buy The Hangover 2, and I'll watch it another 60.
I'd ask you, AJ, but you own everything.
Yeah.
I'm just not going to. Yeah. Well, good, good. All right. I would say for me, 4 out of 5 for Hangover. Fun movie. Hangover 2 is a good movie.
I'd say that's fair, yeah.
I'd push it to the 4, 4.5.
Ooh, that's too much.
But no.
You only get 5 stars, man. Use them wisely. Well, all right.
I'll give it 4 then.
He's a star.
If you're going to take 9? You're going to twist my arm.
The other movie we saw was the so far critically acclaimed X-Men First Class. Now, before we get into this movie, I want to ask you, Nick, and I'll do this with all of you. Before this movie, all 4 X movies previous to this movie, rate them for me from best to worst.
Best would probably have to be the first one. Okay. For me, anyway. Next would probably be Origins. Mm-hmm. I liked Wolverine more on his own and not basically carrying the rest of the X-Men.
Right.
And then it'd probably have to go 2 and 3. 3 by far was the worst for me, and two was just like they were kind of fiddling with the formula just a bit, but not really gelling.
Interesting, interesting. AJ, how do you? What's your order?
I would vary it slightly from Nick's, whereas 1 and 2 would kind of be more at the top. It would go Origins, and despite the fact that it had a horrible CG in spots for me, and then go with 3.
Okay, interesting. I think there are going to be a theme here that all of our bottom movies going to be the same. Jason, how do you feel about what's your order?
I was a bigger fan of 2. I thought it was just a little bit more excitement than the first one.
Mm-hmm.
Then again, I mean, you know me, I like my action. I don't like my character development, so.
Shoot 'em up.
But, Shoot 'em up is one of my favorite movies.
And, right. That's telling.
You know, that's a tell. Then the first one would be my number 2. Number 3 would be Origins Wolverine, and then mm-hmm. number 4 would be the third X-Men.
You and I have the closest, except that I would swap 1 in Origins. I liked X-Men 2, I thought was a good movie. I just had fun with it. Wolverine Origins had a great first half of a movie and then petered out towards the end. Still thought it was better than X-Men 1, which was a decent movie, and then I hated 3. I think we all didn't like 3.
It's hard not to pile the hate on 3.
X-2 had the best characters. Like, I liked Nightcrawler. I liked the villain in X-Men 2 a lot better than I liked the villain in X-Men 1. I love Magneto, but, you know, he just doesn't really seem like a villain to me so much
Whereas Brian Cox was yeah, Brian I mean, Cox he was. I thought he was a better Hannibal than a... I'm sorry. Wow. Anthony Hopkins. Not Anthony Hopkins. Oh, yeah, Anthony Hopkins. God, I can't do this.
Not many people have seen the original Red Dragon.
Man-Eater, it's good. It's a good movie. I recommend it. I love Brian.
It's on DVD.
A more realistic Hannibal Lecter. More fun, I think. Mm. Let's jump into X-Men First Class here. It was originally going to be Magneto, an Origins movie for Magneto, but then they kind of thought, let's do more of an Origins X-Men story. Like, maybe go back to younger Xavier. I had to look this up because at one point, right after the movie, I was like, God, there's a lot of inconsistencies with the previous 3 movies, X-Men movies. I looked it up. This one's actually a very silent reboot. They're not saying that word yet, but they said it very specifically ignores Origins and 3. And this was on purpose. And I thought, wow.
Despite the fact that they had a very Origins Wolverine in there?
Yeah, because, well, because...
Oh, I'm sorry, spoiler.
The next... Well, yeah, it's a nice little cameo for everyone to see. Because the next Wolverine movie, if it ever gets made, is going to more or less ignore Origins, the Wolverine Origins movie.
That's hilarious.
And I'm curious to see how this works out, because it's keeping the same people, basically, more or less.
That's like taking the cast from Casino Royale, the original, and having them make Doctor No. As it was. It just makes no sense to me.
I
kind of
want
to
see that.
No, having Woody Allen be a serious James Bond.
I want to see it. You've intrigued me, Nick. You've intrigued me.
I'm trying to make a valid point here. And you're
No. You're absolutely right. It's an odd concept. But basically, all in all, this movie, it's literally what it sounds like. It's Xavier gathering what will become the roots of the X-Men, but also the roots of the Brotherhood, because, you know, he is friends with Magneto. We know this all along, that there's going to be an end to the friendship at the end of the movie. Spoiler alert, sorry. And that's going to be the branch off for the rest of the series, basically. What is... In general, Nick, how do you feel about this movie? Does it live up to the X-Men?
I think it's probably the best I've seen so far from the X-Men mythos on film. Mm-hmm. So it had a lot of good, solid character developments. It had believable mutations, mm-hmm. and whatnots. It was basically like Mad Men with X-Men. So I was pretty impressed.
How do you feel about this movie, AJ? Does it?
Oh, I loved the movie. I mean, there was only a few slight things that I saw wrong throughout it, like as Nick and I had been previously talking about, like the upside-down submarine, and he's sitting there dangling, holding the plutonium rods or whatever.
Right.
The minor translation errors. Kevin Bacon is terrifying also.
Well, it was between him and Colin Firth, actually, and they went with Kevin Bacon because he's scarier. That was actually their reasoning. So interesting, yeah.
That guy's terrifying.
Well, now you're kind of into the whole mutant power. You like magic and stories. You're into, like, characters who have, like, uber
the ability
and stuff.
To manipulate and thusly absorb potential and kinetic energy is terrifying, though.
Yeah. Well, I mean, did you like the mutant powers in this movie? Was that sort of...
Yeah, I enjoyed the powers as... much as they were varied from side to side. I mean, it was a clear dominancy for Kevin Bacon's guys, but that's
right.
Because he's basically sitting there going, I only want the best of the best.
Well, and it's always better to make your bad guys more powerful than the main characters. It's always more interesting, at least. Now for our action movie guy over here, Jason, for this movie, like, watching it, did you enjoy this movie? Was it...
It was probably the best X-Men in the series
for
me.
Wow, okay.
It was better than 2, in my opinion, and 2 was the best out of the other 4. So I would say that I liked all the action. There was a lot of Magneto in this movie, and Magneto is my favorite of the X-Men. And you get to see why and see his, you know, his mentality develop throughout the movie and how he changes as a character. And so it does feel to me like a Magneto Origins, because it seems to be mostly about him. Rather than the rest of the X-Men. I mean, the rest of them are there, and they have their parts, but, you know, I think really it's establishing both, you know, the Brotherhood and you know, the X-Men, so, you know, I definitely liked it. I liked it because it, you know, set up the mythos a lot better than I think the other movies did, as well as having, there's a lot of action in the movie. There's a lot of fighting. There's a lot of, you know, explosions and flying around, jumping around.
Enough to keep your attention for that. Well, no, see, I'm a big James McAvoy fan. I've loved him since his career started in Band of Brothers, and the way they I thought James McAvoy and Michael Fassbender played off really well against each other in terms of their acting and stuff. Nick, how do you feel? Did they develop, like, we had a problem with Thor that they didn't develop things enough? Do you feel like they developed the relationship enough, and then it did what it did at the end at the right time?
I would say yes between Magneto and Xavier, but I think they were actually... I want to disagree with Jason a bit, because I think Magneto wasn't as developed as he could have been. His arc wasn't really defined. His turn at the end was actually kind of out of nowhere for me. I mean, I knew it was going to come, but based on the previous development before, it didn't really seem natural a transition to what he actually did.
Right.
So I knew it was fated, but not for me. The most interesting character... duo, I think, was probably Mystique and Xavier. They had the most chemistry for me and the most conflict, both internally and externally, that I thought was interesting and pulled me into the movie.
And you enjoyed those characters' arcs with each other, did you?
Exactly.
Yeah, okay. I agree, actually. That was a surprising, I didn't know that was going to be in the movie. I didn't know that Mystique was going to start out with Xavier like that, and that they would be friends slash some sort of an odd adopted brother-sister relationship. And I thought it played out really well. I thought the, I forget her name now, Jennifer Lawrence, I think, who plays Raven Darkholm in this movie, Mystique, I thought she was brilliant in this, and I had no idea about her coming in. How do we feel about James McAvoy in general? AJ, sorry. I was going to call you AJ. How do you feel about James McAvoy as Professor Xavier? A non-bald, walking Professor Xavier.
I liked his interpretation of him on that. I liked that he was more free-going for the movie in that, and starting off and trying to just pick up on women. I have a formula. I'm going to stick with it because it works.
Now, this is directed by Matthew Vaughn, who has directed, I believe, Layer Cake. He directed Kick-Ass. He directed, Stardust or whatever it was called. I think that's all he's done to date.
And probably his weakest.
Most of his work has actually been as a producer to Guy Ritchie. Now, just a real quick comparison, Nick, what do you think? Compare the two directors visually, stylistically. Who do you think is better now, Matthew Vaughn or Guy Ritchie?
Definitely Vaughn. I mean, Ritchie's kind of gone downhill since he married Madonna. I think it's, I don't really think it's her fault. He's just, I think if he had married anyone, his creative energy would have just plummeted like it did, mm-hmm. and it kind of has, in my opinion. So I think Vaughn is definitely the better director at this point.
Well, he seems very stylistic. This movie takes place, of course, during the 60s. The bulk of the plot takes place during the 60s, and there's an entire sequence that a montage that's done very James Bond-esque, and it has the split screen action and stuff, and it was I dig that stuff all over all day long. Jason, how do you feel when directors get a little creative like that? Is it okay to take source material like the X-Men and apply a little bit of that pizzazz to it to liven it up? Do you enjoy that when a director does that?
I do. I would more than, you know, I know a lot of X-Men fans that were a little angry at the movie because it didn't stay faithful to the comic book, and I'm not that kind of guy.
Right.
You know, the comic book is not going to translate directly to film. I know that. I don't expect that. I expect, you know, something different. You know, I wanted to see the movie pan out as it did, and the director did a great job on Origins, or on this, not Origins, X-Men First Class.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I would definitely say that having more of, you know, that style and setting it up like that, I think, was a really good idea. Really well executed.
Wrapping up X-Men real quick, they were talking about maybe not doing sequels back in the present day, but they were actually talking about doing sequels directly to this. And my, Bryan Singer, who I think, even though Matthew Vaughn, this is very much his movie, I think Bryan Singer still has kind of a degree of control given back to him to kind of keep to his original vision. And he hinted at things like involving them in the JFK assassination somehow and things like that. Nick, do you want to see that? Would you want to see sequels to this with no Wolverine?
Actually, I wouldn't mind Wolverine in it, but I don't know. It would depend on how they play it.
Mm-hmm.
Because the way they played it with the Russian missile crisis here in First Class, it was actually kind of believable how they inserted the X-Men into an actual historical event.
It was very cool. It was very stylish. I liked it.
Now, doing JFK and his assassination might step on some toes and ruffle some feathers, and there's a couple of dynasties out there that probably wouldn't want that kind of crass.
Now, could they get away with Vietnam, do you think?
Definitely, they could do Vietnam. Hell, they've already done Vietnam in Origins of it, so yeah, they could do it.
That'd be a nice place to put Wolverine, too.
It depends on how it goes. I am a little concerned if what you're saying is true, that Singer is going to be taking it back over.
No, he's not going to be directing. He's going to, I think, stay in the executive producer role. I think they want Vaughn back to direct.
Okay.
Because I think he kind of nailed the vision for it. And obviously at this point, the money talks. And even though this is the lowest grossing, including inflation to date for all the X-Men movies, it's going to make back its money. I think it might be already close to doing so. And it's critically well-received, fan well-received. I mean, it's...
Don't you just hate it when movies that are actually good don't make as much money as the previous ones?
It bothers me a little bit.
They're always the ones we like.
Now,
we're like the anti-compass for
Can we say that this is now the taking number one on all of our lists for X-Men movies, or...
I'm comfortable with that.
I would be comfortable with that.
Wow, unanimous. This one I'll actually give a 5 out of 5. Yeah. I had really good time with this movie. I was never bored. I had a blast. I know you look like you're going to say something different.
Well, I'd probably go 4 out of 5 because there were some issues, especially with January Jones. She was pretty. Oh, God, she's pretty. But she didn't really have much of a role, and I've already heard other people I mean, I already had this opinion beforehand, but I've already heard other people talking about how her acting wasn't really impressive.
I thought that was on purpose, to be perfectly honest, because I thought they were channeling a little bit of that sort of the way her character was supposed to be. I don't know. I misread that. But
for those of us who don't know the actress's name and what,
that's,
what
she was, she's playing. A madman.
Emma.
She was Emma Frost.
She was, Emma Frost. She was a diamond.
The diamond person. Lady.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I had some issues with the background mutants. Like, I don't even know what the guy's name who did the wind power. I don't even think they mentioned his name in the movie.
Yeah, I don't know enough about X-Lore to and, X-Men lore to get into that.
This version's Angel, who looked more like Pixie to me, her transfer back and forth between teams was a little contrived for me, so I don't know.
All fair points. All fair points. Well, at least this week we actually liked both movies. Nice. That'll never happen again.
Probably not. I don't know. We've got some pretty good ones coming up. I mean, despite the fact that we do have
Super
Cars
8 comes
2
out this
coming,
weekend.
And I mean, Super 8, you know, Captain America.
Oh, Cap. I love you.
Harry Potter.
You and yeah, we'll watch
Jason
it.
And Nick are going to be like, nope.
I'll still see it.
We could go watch Harry Potter.
But
or I could shoot myself in the foot.
I'll pay for it.
I'll pay for both of them. No,
I'll give you the option.
Well, cool. Well, let's like we did last week. We did we picked a movie we had watched a long time ago that we love. Watched it again. That was Fight Club. We unanimously agreed that it was held up awesome. This time around, we went with Fifth Element. Now, Jason, you're the guest. You can go first this time around. Did Fifth Element hold up for you, sir?
Oh, most certainly it did. Fifth Element's one of my favorite movies, and I watch it all the time. It's always on Stars, the movie channel. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it's just, it's every time it's on, I got to turn it on. You know, I own the movie. I watch it constantly. You know, it's one of my favorite movies, and I think it held up pretty well as far as like how it was set up. Special effects, I mean, of course, they're going to show their age, but I think the movie as a whole was a pretty good one. So I think it's going to be one of my favorite movies for the foreseeable future.
How did you do with it, Nick?
It still holds up for me. I do agree with Jason that the CG definitely shows its age, especially when you see the Mon Dachiwin ship coming in the beginning to Egypt. But other than that, it's got great sense of style. I mean, I'm pretty sure that they had fashion moguls and designers from out the wazoo.
There's
from
no
Europe
way they didn't.
Doing art design and fashion design and how music was interesting. And they had such an interesting, diverse cast of everyone from supermodels to comedians. And you know, there was even Tricky, the rapper, who was a trip hopper, I guess. So it was just very interesting.
And did it hold up for you, AJ?
Oh, yes. I enjoy all the characters in the movie, from like the flying Chinese restaurant owner to the kooky radio announcer.
Chris Tucker's nice little role there. I had to watch it twice. The first time I watched it, I was like, oh, man. And then I had to go, okay, ignore that plot right there and watch it again. Oh, good movie. Whew. There's some things that bothered me a little bit. And I'm kind of sad about that. Chris Tucker, actually, speaking of.
Really?
I wanted him, once they got off the ship, I wanted his character to have no further role in the movie, which is the opposite of how I felt the first time I watched that movie. And this time I was like, no, I'm done with you, guy. And even a little bit, the apprentice priest or whatever he is, Ian Holmes' apprentice kid or whatever that guy is, I kind of wanted him to not be there either. He got on my nerves really bad. It's still fun. I still had a good time watching it, but I think there was a little bit of it diminishing in my heart a little, and that made me sad. Still good. It's still worth a watch.
3 out of 4 ain't bad, I guess.
Nope. I'm wrong here, I think, but I'm on the minority, definitely. But there you go. I'm getting looks of disgust, maybe. I'm a little disgusted with myself, actually.
Well, however you feel about yourself, that's fine. I don't particularly mind.
You're the odd man out.
I am.
Now, if you had said the same thing about Incredibles, I would have punched you in the face.
Incredibles will never die for me. It's one of the most amazing movies ever made.
Just like Goonies, never say die.
Oh, Goonies. Yeah. Isn't that a reboot one coming up?
I think they were going to do they're trying to do a sequel.
Oh,
and I know Corey Feldman desperately wants them to do a sequel because he really is hurting.
I need work. I need good work.
Oh, God.
Well, then, not a bad first time out, is it, Jason? Having fun?
Fun.
Oh, he looks disappointed.
I'm disappointed.
Oh, that's usual from Jason. I don't think he's ever happy with anything.
I was promised grapes and goldfish crackers.
That is never going to happen.
Drink your fruit juice.
Well, we were definitely happy to have you on, Jason. You actually brought a lot of wisdom. I was shocked. I was expecting just a bunch of...
Just a bunch of stuff short there. Yeah, there we go.
Thanks for the backhanded compliment, Brent. I really appreciate it.
I do what I can. No, no. In all truthfulness, it was fun having you on, Jason. I really hope you come back again.
I'll see you in the parking lot.
No, you won't, because I'll be running.
Oh, I've got a car. I will outrun you.
Mm-hmm. Well, is there anything you want to pimp or throw out there, Jason, for anyone to know how to find you, or you just want people to leave you alone?
I do not have an email address for public use by any stretch of the I don't have a Facebook page yet, so, I mean, if you're a fan, and yes, I'm speaking to my fans out there, you know, there will be a way to contact me eventually, maybe. In the foreseeable future, probably not.
I'll contact you.
Well,
my first fan, AJ.
Turned it down.
If you guys didn't see it, but there was a fist bump happening. Yeah, it just happened.
I mean, it was an awkward fist bump, but it was all right. Jason's really just going to beat me up after this. There is actually a way to reach the show now. If you go on Twitter, it's twitter.com/voidzonepodcast because someone else already has Void Zone. And you can also reach us at voidzonepodcast@gmail.com. That way Nick and AJ never have to get Twitters.
Oh, thank God.
You can also reach me at twitter.com/BrittWard. You don't have to, though. Just do the podcast thing. That's fine. I'm scared of people, so it probably helps just do the podcast thing. Next week, we may or may not be talking about, if we're doing an episode next week, we may or may not be talking about Super 8. I've got my fingers crossed because I love J.J. Abrams. So for Jason Woolrich, Nick Michael, Mr. A.J. Casey, and for Out of the Void Productions, this is Britt Ward. You guys have a safe weekend. Thank you. Bye.